Let's turn to 1 Kings 18. And it's not a Christmas message, but that's right. It's the Word. That's what. Okay. There. And why don't we go ahead and stand, okay? As we read the Word of God here tonight. A little longer section, but it'll be good for us. It says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So some of you teenagers haven't been with us. We've been going through Elijah here, and of course he stopped the rain, and God, great miracles. And so it's about to end. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land and unto all the fountains of water and to all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I said that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here or there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men, the Lord's prophets, by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here and he shall slay me. He seems to be focused on getting slain, doesn't he? And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Baalim. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Help us as we study this passage, Lord, not only to be instructed, but Lord, that you might speak to our hearts through the word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see if I can, get this thing to work. Well, maybe I can't. I think it's on. Maybe I'll just do the finger thing here. We're not getting nowhere. There we go. Okay. So the title is Difficulties When Following the Lord. There we go. So, difficulties in life. Anybody have those? Yes. They come in different forms, okay? And now, following God, it's not all gravy. Sometimes he must lead us into troublesome waters, you know? Just like he did with the disciples. That was not an accident. They didn't have a storm on the sea that Jesus didn't know about. He brought it about. And sometimes God just puts us in those situations. Uh, We must always remember that following God will lead us to great places. Amen? I mean, it's always going to be great places, even though sometimes we have to go through dark places to arrive there, you know? Think of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail there, you know? Most of us probably would have, at least I know how I am, I'd probably been complaining, but instead they just sang praises and reached the whole jail for Christ, okay? Matthew 28, verse 20, the last part of the verse, Jesus says, I am with you always. That means in every situation, even unto the end of the world. Did he mean that? Yeah. So wherever you go, never forget, whatever you think, this is terrible. No, God's brought you here. He's with you in it all. Okay? See, God warns us that we will suffer rejection and persecution in this life, even when we're doing his will. You know? Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, well, that's not fair. What are you wanting out of life, you know? This, if everything was so good all the time, you'd be looking around the corner finding when there's something going to go wrong, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, accept God's pathway, you know? If you go your own way, and I've been known to do that, it'll not deliver you from difficulty. Even when, you know, even though you may think you're avoiding it, you know, we try to get ahead of God and try to stop those things. You know, what's the point? You know, God will deliver you from difficulty, but don't try to fix it yourself, you know. That's kind of an interesting picture, you know. Guy making his own pathway. You think you're going to fix things. You know, do you think God knows the better pathway? Yeah, he does. Okay. If you follow God through difficulty, you'll find joy in obedience. Even though you meet, you know, victory without regret on the other side of the difficulty. I mean, God, you find joy. There's fullness of joy when you serve God. Okay? Yeah. Now Elijah, let's go back to the story here. He's seen blessing after blessing. And if you teens weren't with us, I'm sorry about that. But there's been one blessing after blessing in this whole, I mean, amazing. In Zarephath, they're sitting by the brook Cherith, you know. So now he's facing something. He has learned to follow God, and he's about to face many unpleasant confrontations at the brook Cherith and other places. Now, each of us encounter difficulties and challenges regularly. That's life. Life's full of those things. It's like a distance race, and so there's going to be times when you're short on air, as it were, or you're going to be aching about certain things. But God illustrates how Elijah responds to these circumstances. You know, what's great about Elijah, we think of his power and, boy, it would have been great to do this with Elijah. But understand, he went through a lot of challenges as well. And his response to those challenges is what helps us to understand. And that's why God put this in the Word. It's a real life, but it's a real life that served God, and we can see by his example how we can face when you have difficulties in life. Okay, right? Let's look together in, 1 Corinthians 10. I got the wrong one there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 11. It says, now all these things happen unto them for examples. Who's he talking about? Anybody know? He's talking about all the things in the Old Testament, especially with Israel in the wilderness. So they happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And he goes on, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So accept the fact that God knows what he's doing and all that. And so let's get into this, okay? How does Elijah respond when difficulties come? And how do you do it when you come upon rebellious people? I'm not talking about some of you kids that are rebellious, okay? I'm talking about when you confront someone that either doesn't know the Lord or just living in, I mean, you want to give them a wall job, you know? You know what a wall job is, don't you? Oh, yeah, so just pick a guy up against the wall, okay? You know, there's some people like that, you want to give them a wall job, okay? But that's not the right response. So, you know, rebellious people, you know, what's the answer to that, you know? So let's look. Okay, when facing such trying conditions, we should know three things. Look at verse 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So how do you deal with, you know, if you're going to deal with rebellious people, this is a challenge. I admit it. I've had to deal with them, and it's not a pleasant prospect. Before you do, answer these three questions. Number one, are you the person God wants for this job? Rebellious people. Now, if you're a parent, you deal with a rebel son, you got to deal with them. Obviously, you're the person, okay? But rebellious people, you know, you can have the wrong response, but if you're the person, here God says, I want you to go see Ahab. I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to be in the same state with Ahab. That's my attitude towards this. This guy's a slime ball, you know. He knows the truth. That's what's sad about Ahab, and refuses it because he wants to be with his wicked wife Jezebel. So ask, are you the person for the job? Now, this is usually clear, understand, but you should make sure before jumping the gun and creating bigger messes than already exists, you know. So Titus 3:14, and it says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So continue to do what God wants so that, you know, you'll continue to bear fruit. If you respond the wrong way, it's going to affect you and your relationship with God. And that's why I say rebellious people, it's hard to deal with. Second thing, is this the right time to do this? Now, Elijah's just a man. If you'd been a few months before that, he might have wanted to take an Ahab and slapped him around, okay? But God has the right time. It says, after many days, you know. And here it is, just prior to the arrival of the rain. Can you imagine what a place would be like after 3.5 years with zero rain? Of course, we're here in the rainy part of the country. My mother went through, what happened? This whole thing. Okay. My mother went through the Depression in Kansas in the Dirty 30s, they called it. Anybody heard of the Dirty 30s? Nobody's heard of the Dirty. It was the 1930s. You've heard them, okay. I know you didn't live through it. I'm not asking that, okay? It wouldn't rain. Dust everywhere. My mom said mom would have us clean the house. I mean, there'd be an inch or so of dust. They'd clean the house, the wind would come up, and the house would be dirty again just as soon as they were done. The topsoil was blowing everywhere. Cracks in the ground. It was a mess, you know. And I guess I've lost my iPad or whatever this is. But understand, this 3.5 years, and so it's the right time, okay? Now, Elijah must announce this beforehand to also show that God can both send the rain and remove it as he pleases. It's not on Ahab's schedule. He's beginning to see that this is a testimony. This is God's work. 3.5 years, I guarantee Jezebel had been doing everything she could with all her idols and nothing happened. Now Elijah comes to say, announces it beforehand, the rain's about to come. And so when it comes, both he and Jezebel and the whole country knows this is God. Okay. Now, God always does things at his perfect time, if you're just paying attention. That's why you want to wait for God's direction on this whole thing. It's never by accident. Nothing God does is by accident. His timing is always perfect. Let's look in Galatians chapter 4. I think the battery died or something on this thing. I don't know. Okay. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So we think about the birth of Christ, the exact perfect timing. In fact, if you look in the 70 weeks of Daniel and Daniel 9, Jesus came the exact year that was prophesied long ago. That's why the wise men knew what the Bible had said, and they knew how to follow it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so, understand God's will. Third thing. Okay. Am I in the place God wants me to be? Say, that's very simple, but that is a key ingredient to make sure you're where God wants you to be in anything, really. God's timing, God's person, and God's place is important, you know. Like the brook Cherith, remember, Elijah doesn't move till God says so. Here it says, after many days, God says, okay, Elijah, now I want you to go see Ahab. And so he doesn't move until God says so. So understand, he's still at the woman of Zarephath's home when God calls to him. It's a lot of times when you get to this chapter, you think he's somewhere else, but no, that's where he's at. And God says, okay, it's time now. I want you to leave. And some may wonder, well, did God provide for the woman after Elijah left? Of course he did. Okay. As long as it was needed, God provided. Revelation 1:10, John says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. You know, I'm wanting to work on a message on that very thing, the Lord's day, because so many people aren't in the Spirit on the Lord's day. They come to church. The Lord's day is what day?
Sunday.
Sunday, that's right. And a lot of people come to church, just had an argument on the way to the car. They come, they're not in the Spirit. They have all kinds of things going on. They're thinking about something else. There's a lot can be said about that phrase, the Lord's Day. That was free. That wasn't in my notes, okay? Also, when God directs, we must follow without question. And so I like this. It sounds very simplistic, and it is, but it's something we all struggle with. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. God says, go. What happens? Elijah goes, okay? That's following Jesus does not exempt the Christian from storms, you know. And so we're first, what does he say? Told Elijah obeyed. That's what's important to God. Notice, Everything in the Scripture is there for a reason. And the way it's put in Scripture is that's for a reason. And so God tells him, and God say, well, this is so simplistic. Yes, it is, but it's something simplistic that we often do not do. And so God says, go. Next verse, God says, I want you to know this. He went. Okay. We're then told there's a famine. And for many of us, that would enter into our decision of going or staying in Zarephath. Right? Well, I got food every day here. I'm going to go down there where there's not anything coming, you know. But we're told the famine secondarily after Elijah goes. We're not told there's a famine before Elijah goes. So Elijah goes just following God regardless of the situation. And so God tells us God tells us this way to try to get us to have our priorities straight. It didn't matter to Elijah. That's his walk with God, but sometimes it does to us. Of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yeah. Sadly, when God directs us into difficult things, we're often looking for excuses to avoid it. Now, listen to me. You're not an exception in that, you know. But we want, you know, what about this? You know, let's look at, how about Moses? In Exodus, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not an eloquent, neither here... before nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, I cannot go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I'll teach thee what thou shalt say. So Moses went through the same problem, but Elijah didn't. Okay, so each one, we have our burdens to bear, or our baggage, as I say, we have to deal with. Second thing, when God's will appears to bring about damage, that's a tough one. Verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house, and Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. You know, difficulties face those who are faithful servants. Here we have a man named Obadiah. This is not the prophet that's later, okay? There's a lot of Obadiahs in the Bible. This is a guy that's a faithful servant. And yes, he works in the government. But in spite of all that, he's a blessing, really, God's using, okay? Now, Obadiah was the king's royal chamberlain and supervisor of whatever estates the king possessed. He was a courageous servant of God. Okay, we know that. His name means servant of Jehovah. And it's not just a name. It seemed like that's what he did. He followed God. Now, Obadiah had put his life in jeopardy, think about this, by hiding and feeding 100 prophets of God. Can you imagine trying to feed 100 of them? You think that would take a lot of money and sacrifice? And yet doing it behind the king's back where he didn't know. So I'm saying he was a man of great faith. I'm not discounting that. But his sacrifices didn't remove him from being challenged in his faith more. I bring that up regularly in my preaching. God is always working on us to challenge our faith. I don't care what age you are. Remember, we looked the last couple of weeks, Elijah is being challenged in his faith. And so is Obadiah here. Now, God will often send us on... God will often send us on journeys to do his will. And this is an interesting journey. Verse 5, and Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land and all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, this is, as I say, God's working here in the background all the way. This is not accidental. Providentially, God has Ahab divide the duties with he and Obadiah to have the right one to come upon Elijah. So this is not accidental. You know, God can use lost people. You know, so you say, why would he use Ahab? Well, there's a plan here. And for both Obadiah and Ahab. Now, understand, God could have had Elijah to go right to Ahab. True? Yeah. But God wanted to grow Obadiah through the situation here. Are you getting this? He's important to God. And it's not all about Elijah. This keeps coming up in this story of Elijah. We think so much of Elijah, but there's other personalities and people involved that God cares about. Now, Ahab, John Whitcomb said this, was desperately concerned about his horses, for they were his first line of defense. And, you know, if it's not raining for 3.5 years, what are they going to eat? How are you going to feed the horses? Where's the grain going to come from? And so they're looking everywhere. Apparently what it said here, they've lost already. He says we don't lose them all. They've lost a lot of their livestock. We do later find that Ahab had 2,000 chariots with horses. So obviously the story, they were saved through this, okay? And we won't get into that. Now, Obadiah's path is guided by God and intersect with Elijah. Verse 7, as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And so it's God's intertwining them here. And Elijah wants Ahab to know beforehand, on his arrival, before they see face to face, to put Ahab on the defensive. I really believe that's what this is all about. And Ahab's about to face stuff he's never faced before, really. Look at Proverbs 4. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. What a great passage. But he transfers the other side. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And that's what's great about knowing the Lord. Things are cleared up. You know what's going on in this world. They don't. And that's a great opportunity to witness people. I mean, I'll bring up, say, you know, this world's spiraling down quickly. And they know that. They don't know where it's going. But we got the answer. Say, but you know, there's an answer for that. You know. Anyway, that was free. So Obadiah must learn that his life is just as important as Elijah. God wouldn't put his life in jeopardy unless God was done with him. So everyone tonight, you're just as important as Elijah. We have the tendency to make heroes out of certain people, and the hero here is God. I admire Elijah's faith because he knows what makes him great. We'll see Elijah later, if we get to that in a couple weeks, what he's really like without God when he's hiding in a corner, okay? But with God, God's what's great here, okay? There must also be instruction to Ahab that he needs Elijah. So Obadiah must be an instrument to bring Ahab to the place of seeking out Elijah. And so Ahab's, he doesn't know why his life's getting twisted all around. Ahab's life's an interesting study. He's a man in conflict. And I don't have time for it tonight, but he's a man that knows the truth. You just study about Ahab himself. You know, he's a wicked reprobate. I admit that. But he's a man that knows the truth. One time when he's finally confronted with it, he repents in sackcloth and ashes. But here's another thing. He married the wrong woman. He married a witch. And I mean, she's wicked. And she influenced him and everything went on in his life. Anyway, here's a guy that knows better. And so God keeps bringing him, in God's mercy, he keeps giving another chance and confronting him with these things, okay? And so there, you know, Obadiah meets him. Let's keep going here. If we allow doubt to enter our minds, we will draw wrong conclusions. What do you mean doubt? Let's notice Obadiah here. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I thy servant fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? You know, Obadiah is going through this doubt situation and doubting what God's plan is here. See, doubt causes Obadiah to forget how God has already worked through him for good. These prophets saved wasn't just Obadiah. I appreciate his sacrifice, but it's certainly, think about it, 100 prophets. How are you going to keep them hidden from the king? There had to be the intervention of God, you know. Sorry about that. And so Obadiah forgot, you know, these prophets were saved, required the intervention of God. It wasn't just him that brought it about. And this causes Obadiah to begin to think God will do him hurt. You know, he's afraid that, God's bringing, I've done all these things and why is he doing this to me, you know? And so he begins to think the worst outcome. There it is. Mark Twain, I like this quote. Some of the worst things in my life never ever happened. Now, he was kind of a nutcase, but I like that quote. You know, that's how we worry about stuff that never do happens, you know. And he said, I'm going to die. You know, that's what Obadiah keeps screaming, you know. And so what he's doing, he attempts to predict the future, which is really God's place. You're doing all this, and you're setting me, I'm going to get killed, you know. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look unto Jesus. He's the beginning and the ending. Okay. And so doubt causes Obadiah to have a pity party. And he starts whining and complaining. He begins to think that God doesn't appreciate what he's done, or that what he's done apparently isn't important to God. I mean, all those things I've done, and now I'm going to die for it, you know. Here's how we ought to be. We should have the mindset that we're privileged. Whatever God has for us. I thank the Lord at 70 years old I can still serve him. I'm glad I got to come here and preach and teach. I know whatever God does, appreciate what he's done, you know. But he doesn't apparently appreciate that, and that he's apparently, it's crazy, but it's a privilege to be servants of the Lord, whatever we're called to do. Everybody say amen. 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 I want to make sure you get this. Looking at, can't bring it up. There we go. Acts 5:40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, and let them go. What did they do? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. Well, it's a privilege to serve God wherever the need might be. And believe me, that made an impact on the city of Jerusalem. And so the problem here with Obadiah, he's too caught up in what he's done rather than what God has done through him. And he talks all about what he's done here in this passage twice. I mean, okay, you know, and I'm not here just to rip on Obadiah, but there's a lesson here for us to learn to trust God. And then finally, when we must tell others that they what they don't want to hear, you know, this happens. That's a difficulty in life. You got to suck it up and be a man or a woman and tell people what sometimes they don't want to hear. Preaching a lot of times is that, you know. I like to preach series. Maybe I'm a chicken. That way they can't say, well, you picked that message just for me. You know, they'll still do that. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. I remember a guy I preached in a visitor. And he said, preacher, man, that was the greatest message. You're one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. When they say that, I get nervous. The next week I preached and he stormed out and left the middle of the service and never came back, you know. So he didn't like that. He liked the first message, he didn't like the second one, okay? See, those who won't accept blame ignore God's warnings. Verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? that's a hoot to see that. Elijah had warned Ahab of the consequences of continued sin and saw how God's word was fulfilled. That's what's going on. He'd warned him, you know. Ahab had seen how the idols he had, he and Jezebel served, couldn't bring the rain. This has been going for 3.5 years. I guarantee you, man, they've done everything they possibly could and nothing's changed. A person that determines to have their own way suffer consequences. Ahab wanted this. He brought it on himself. He can talk about it. Everybody else being the cause. And everybody wants to pass the buck. But when it's your sin, you got to face it. You know. And so Ahab's sins created serious and troublous times for all his kingdom. And he suffered just like the people suffered. Believe me. Ahab's stubbornness left his country imperiled, so don't blame others. You know, when you have troubles that are coming on yourself, don't blame other people. Go look in the mirror. You know, it's always right to have a humble heart before God. And when there's issues in your life that you're facing, don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the neighbor. Don't blame your husband, your wife, the kids, or the parents. You know, you'd blame it. Take the blame, repent, get right. That's the answer. But those who pass, you know, the blame must be confronted. In verse 18, and he answered, he says, I have not troubled Israel. Very simple. I mean, not a long message. He says, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. When you're under God's conviction, when a person's under God's convictions, they need to hear the truth. There's no more debate in this thing. It's, you know, deny their false charges, point the finger where it belongs. That's what he does, and that's what Elijah has to do, you know. He's the guy. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I like that. Boy. I need all the mercy I can get. How about you? Yeah. Why fight it? And then also supply proof of the charges against them. He says, ye have forsaken. You know it. Quit ignoring the facts. So in conclusion tonight, the paths that God chooses for each of us are due to God's omniscience. What is God's omniscience? What does that mean? He knows it all. Amen? Everything. And so they're never accidental. so they're for our good. So if you're going through difficulties, praise the Lord. So, well, that's easy for you to say, preacher. Well, I didn't say you're going to feel like you love it, but you can still praise God because God's in charge. Romans 8:28, we like quoting that when things are going good. We know that all things work together for good to them who are to love God, to them who are the called according to His, don't forget that part of the verse, His purpose. So He has a plan for it. And also, I kind of hinted this early on, if we never suffered difficulties, we would never learn anything. That's why I say don't, you have children, don't try to keep them from suffering consequences for their actions, you know. Let them suffer that. It's an instruction, you know. Old Spurgeon said, trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil and let us see what we are made of. And of course, James been preaching there, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. That's complete. That fulfill it, you know. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so let it have its place, you know. Okay, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the lessons. We can learn so much from it. Help us to take hold of this. Lord, even at the Christmas season, we're going to have some difficulties and maybe some trials even with family or friends. And Lord, help us to have the right spirit and know that you're with us and you're on top of all these things. Lord, help us to ever remember that you have a plan and we need to follow that pathway, not to create our own. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.